Welcome to the Unstick Your Mind podcast on Mimika TV. Get ready to get unstuck, align with your true purpose, and unlock your God-given potential.
Well, the concept of rewiring your brain really gets me excited because the good news is that you don't have to have the brain you were born with. You can actually change your brain. And this all comes down to neuroplasticity. And as we know now, science is finally catching up with what I feel the Bible's talked about in terms of like rewiring and renewing your mind. Like, how do you think new intentional thoughts every day? And what I love about this, I'm actually going through this training program of becoming a brain health coach with the Amen University. They've actually looked at brain scans of how behavior and choices actually affects the brain. So if this is new concept for you, let me introduce you to the idea of that your brain is malleable. That even for people who've had traumatic brain injuries are able to reformat and rewire their brain through new training. The best way that I analyze this is like if you go to the gym, right? You want to lose weight or you want to build muscle. You know, at first, getting started is the hardest part, right? And it's like getting your strength up and your stamina. But you know you have to keep it up, like being intentional, showing up every day. Like my husband's a runner and he loves, getting started wasn't so much fun. But once he had got into that stage that he switched into craving running, it's like his brain and his body was like, I need to go run. And if he didn't, he'd be like driving me crazy. And I'd like, go get your shoes and go, like seriously. And it was like you eventually switch into where your brain and your body crave that new thing. And it's almost like the same way that addictions work, right? We find something that interests us or like kids on cell phones. You're getting the dopamine hit every time you stimulate your brain. And we get, we have the hormones, which is the serotonin and the dopamine. But if we think about what do we do that constantly keeps us plugged into, whether it's, being addicted to exercise or drink or TV or whatever, insert your vice. If your brain and your body can get trained into craving something that's negative, the opposite is true. You can train your brain and your body to get addicted to something that's good. And what this means is that by intentionally taking steps and rewiring, and the best way I describe it is because I come from a classically trained ballet dancing background and I do competitive figure skating. The way you learn new things is to redo and practice and repeat and repeat and repeat. So if you want to rewire your brain, first of all, you have to know that it's possible and you have to decide what you want the new habit to be. And then you need to put in practices that support that new habit. And you need to keep repeating and repeating and repeating until it becomes muscle memory. And of course, that is the difference between being, proactive and reactive. A lot of people stay in reactive mode, like, oh my gosh, today's going to be a bad day. Oh, the weather's terrible. They've already decided their day is going to be bad. And then what happens is, you attract what you think about. So if you've decided it's going to be a bad day, all of a sudden there's traffic and then this happens and then confirmation bias sets in and like, oh, you see, I told you it's going to be a terrible day because you already decided. So what if we did the opposite? What if we decided, and this goes beyond just thinking positively because thinking positively isn't enough. You have to accompany it with action. So if say you're waking up in the morning, you hit the alarm clock off, you can decide in those few seconds of waking up, I call it the first 10 seconds. You make the decisions for your day as you're waking up. What do you want your day to look like? So what are the choices you're going to make to support your day to line up with your choice? So if you want the day to go well and you want to have time for everything, it means you need to make decisions. So if you don't want to be late for your meeting at the office, it means not sleeping in for another 5 minutes, making that intentional choice now to make a decision so that you can then reap the reward later. So if we are, again, constantly questioning our choices and saying, if I do this, it's going to end up here. But if I do that, it's going to end me up at a different place. It's like degrees. If you think about whether you're on a ship liner, like a ship liner is really hard to move really fast. It's not as agile as, say, if you were going down the river on a canoe. You can kind of move very quickly. But if you're in a ship liner and you're carrying a lot of baggage, which I like to call the junk in your trunk from your past, and you've used to going at this pace, if you want to change, you can by small degrees. So one little degree today doesn't seem like a lot, right? You think, well, I'm not losing the weight. Why do I not feel like I'm getting further ahead? But you need to stay the course, because in a few weeks or months or years, you eventually, by that 1 degree, you are going to go end up in a completely different direction because of that choice you made to make 1 degree shifts. And this is where I think, you know, understanding that your brain needs that sense of accomplishment, which is why we need to celebrate the wins. Like, we've forgotten how to celebrate and bring a closure to things because we've got used to things never ending. The social media never switches off. We don't have the end. You know, games don't go game over. They like just continue roll into the next. The days roll into the other. There's never an off switch. And what your brain is looking for is closure. Like, why do we have weddings? Why do we have funerals? It's a way of you to be able to come to that stage like, okay, this is done. Completion. Now you can move on. And when you understand that concept that I need to accomplish something and stick with it until there's a new muscle memory or neural pathway, which we talk about. It's a new way of thinking. It's going to feel a little hard at first, but once you've intentionally driven that path and it becomes muscle memory, you don't have to think about it. I love this concept of understanding, you know, happiness. Like, we've, you know, read the book and seen the movie In Pursuit of Happiness. But here's the thing. Happiness, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is relied on happenings, circumstances out of your control. If you say, I'm only going to be happy when I make $1 million, there's a lot of factors that go into that that perhaps are out of your control. And if you are basing your happiness on an event or a circumstance or a bank balance, you're pretty much just setting yourself up for disappointment. Because here's the thing. If you can rather switch your idea of success from having a sense of joy, what joy is the choice you make in that moment to be happy and to find the good in any situation, that it doesn't matter the circumstances, whether you're rich or poor, thin or fat, you know, wherever you are in life, the choice of joy is an active thing, where happiness is like almost waiting for life to happen to you. Because happiness, happenings, no one can control other people. We can't control outside circumstances. So even from an intrinsic perspective, if you can start to think of what will bring me joy, even down to little things like, and my husband and I have this saying, I don't know if you guys ever watched the Netflix show with Maria Kondo, where she goes through people's houses and helps them tidy and declutter. And she says, if it don't spark joy, let it go. And I was like, that's a brilliant concept. If it doesn't spark joy and it doesn't bring happiness to you, whether now or in the future, why are we doing this? And it makes you start to think and value time, resources, relationships, and certain things, and down to a practical level. Like I say to my husband, doing housework does not spark joy. But I would rather work a few extra hours, earn a bit more money, and pay for someone else who's better, cheaper, and faster at cleaning my house and buy back my time to be able to do the things that do spark joy. Now, I'm not to say that, you know, we have to get out of chores, and there's certain things in life we have to do whether we like it or not. But again, it's like when you're making choices, if you're forcing yourself through a certain thing, or maybe doing a job, or working with clients, like, you know, within you that it doesn't feel right, that your sense of joy is off. That's a really important marker for you to sort of dig in and ask yourself the question, if it doesn't spark joy in me, what is the value in me doing this or making this choice? Now, on the flip side, I must actually say as a caveat, we can't go through life expecting everything to be sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, because that's not reality, right? There is joy even in the hard things. Now, people will be like, what do you mean? Like, just think about this for a moment. When you go to the gym, are you feeling super excited and joyful for your personal trainer to put you through all the hard work and the sweat and the tears, and you know it's going to be so painful? No, we know intentionally that you're making this choice because the outcome outweighs the pain. So we know the whole, you know, no pain, no gain thing is actually true, that sometimes, even though it doesn't bring you joy in the moment, the greater joy from being fit and being more healthy is far more valuable than the current happiness. So it's trading today's fleeting happiness for tomorrow's eternal joy. The whole concept that we talk about celebrating the wins and deciding how your day is going to be is that you set your own standard of measurement for the day. But let me just classify this. So I know women are intentionally bad at this. We are great at making these long lists, and we're very good at beating ourselves up when we don't accomplish those things. But how you flip that is I have a three-prong approach, and I call this the triple D strategy. And no, it's not a bra size. It's a task size, okay? And the three Ds are ditch, delegate, and do. So anything that I decide I want to do in my life is that I have a list of prioritizing where this is going to go. And most of the time, for us, those who love to be busy, because we feel like we're accomplishing things by being busy, but being busy and proactivity are two different things. What I like to do is intentionally put my to-do list in these certain buckets. Like the thing that I want to do, is it really need to be done today? And if not, it can go in the ditch pile. Now, is the thing that I need to be done, can someone else do it? Maybe cheaper, quicker, faster? Like I alluded to the fact that I do not clean my house. I'd rather hire someone who comes and does it for me at a much better level than I would, because I would just be like, okay, let's get this done. And then the stuff that I know that only I can do that is really my gifts and skills and talents, my area of genius, for my zone of genius that I know I need to intentionally put my energy in, is far more valuable. And the way you get to this is to understand your value. And this is a whole concept we can, you know, be talking hours on. But really, how do you value yourself and your time? Like, what is your time worth? Everything that you choose to do in your life. Like, whether it's, am I going to even waste the 1 minute of getting angry on the road in the car because of the guy who cut me off? Am I going to just allow my emotions and my whole system to be out of whack? Where I could just be like Elsa and let it go and just say, bless you, have a good day, you know? These are the micro decisions we make that either set us up for success or failure, for us to feel at the end of the day, wow, I accomplished this, or yeah, I got a load of dishes done, or I actually got through the filing and did my taxes, or, you know, I took the dog for a walk, or I actually took a nap. Like, these are all wins. It doesn't matter what, it doesn't have to be rocket science. You aren't being graded. This isn't school where you get a grade for having done all the things or having not done all the things. You decide the level of importance and you give it the value proposition for each thing. So I know it's not worth my time doing certain tasks. Either it's not even needs to be in my purview. I just need to like delete it off the task. Like, learn Spanish in 3 months. Yeah, not going to happen. So let's just take that off and be kind to myself, right? And where other things that are maybe urgent but are important but not urgent that I could perhaps deal with maybe later, you can start to prioritize. And that gives your brain a sense of being able of peace and accomplishment, that even though, say, you have 10 things swirling in your head, if you can put them in those buckets, you can say to your brain, it's okay, I know you're freaking out about the bucket over here, but that's not what we're going to waste our time on today. Just put it out of your mind. We just need to put our energy, all we have time for today is this one task, that I would rather complete that task, give myself that sense of accomplishment. Because what you do, it's like your brain is like hard drive space. You know, if you've used your computer too much and then the startup disk starts to slow things down and the trash hasn't been emptied, everything starts to slow down. So by you getting those, actually finishing the tasks, instead of having 10 unfinished tasks, you rather do one. You erase that from your mind's memory. You clear up that database space, and now you've got space for more creative thinking. Because so many of us have been, especially with the way the world has been, has put us into this fear-based reactionary mode. Everything's crisis. Everything's stressful. And the media does this intentionally. So that's why you just got to filter your inputs, where you're getting your intel from. That I don't want to live on adrenaline and cortisol. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your system. It actually ages you super fast. So if you are constantly being pinged and, you know, you see something and you have a freak out, you're wasting mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual energy. So I've become a lot more strict about how I spend my time and where I give my emotional energy to. And when you realize, you know, the one thing in life we cannot get back is time. We can always make more money. We can always create more things, but we can never get that time back. That if we value our time and how we're spending our time, we make everything so much more valuable. And then you realize, you start to get a lot more picky about how you're going to spend your time. And then when you realize you're in the driver's seat, you become so much more confident, so much more self-assured. And then this is where part of my training that I always say, you can accomplish and overcome any challenge, no matter how hard, because you have already decided to become the boss of your brain. And this is really the key to why rewiring and taking those intentional steps to choose how you want to think, even in the first 10 seconds of your day, gets to direct the rest of your day. So you are the director of your own ship. You ask my family, I'm always ready to rant about how the lack of this kind of content is lacking in schools. Now, I've had kids in different, you know, all through all the levels of school. And what I definitely have said throughout the years is what we lack is teaching our kids how to think. We have been taught, and the school system has really trained them to be little sheep. It's taught them how to be followers and not necessarily leading their own path. And what I'm saying is I'm not talking about instilling mayhem in the classroom. I'm almost like that sort of Socratic view of thinking. Like, I'm half Greek, so my dad always talked about the Socratic method, about always questioning, like asking questions, and that's how you learn. So if it was up to me, I would make sure, number one, that the kids are in school year-round. This whole school system of being off 3 months is not good for the brain because the brains go to mush. Second of all, I would make sure that even from kindergarten, that kids are taught the Socratic method of questioning and asking, like, why is the sky blue? Well, let's investigate what that means. Like, you know, how do bees' wings fly so fast? Instead of just, here are facts and you need to just remember facts, what the school system has done is taught people how to memorize facts, but there has been no implication of how do you put this into practice. So we've become sheep, what I call sheeple. We just learn the facts and we spit them out. But we don't know how to put the tools we learn into practical everyday life. So if we can teach our kids how to think, how to ask questions so they learn, because when you are in that creative, ooh, what does that mean? Like, how is that working? You then are in a position of you looking for, and kids are, their minds are built this way. They are curious. So if we can build in curiosity in the classroom, I think we would have a completely different workload. You know, the school systems, the college systems would have to cater for kids and allowing them to choose their own path. Because how many people do you know when you leave school are like, I don't know what to do with my life, because they've been told what to do for the first, you know, all 12 years of schooling. And they've never been taught to think about what's really good about them. And only after they graduate, they start asking the questions, well, what's my personality type? And what are my skills? And what am I naturally good at? Like, no, hello, we should have told you this when you were five, you know, instead of putting everybody in the same box and this in generalization of education. I mean, especially if we're introducing, like we introduce math and science, like this should be part of our everyday curriculum, is teaching our kids how to think. And this is where I feel like the world has got it about the whole concept of what you feel. Feel confident, feel motivated. That isn't really, we've got that backwards because we don't wait for the feeling. The feeling comes from the action. And even in psychology, we talk about is your feelings are the last thing to catch up. You first decide and make the choice in your mind. You then step out and take the action. And then you wait to feel confident, or you wait to feel that sense of accomplishment having done the thing. And I think once we can make that shift and realize it doesn't matter how I feel, because I know this choice I'm making today is going to bring the feelings of success and motivation and happiness and joy having done the thing. And in waiting for motivation to come on is like waiting for, like, it's to rain in the middle of summer. Like, you're going to stand out and stare at the sky for as long as you possibly can. It just ain't happening. So, and I think it all comes back to, what do you want with your life? How do you want to think and feel? You get to choose. You get to decide how your day turns out by being intentional with how you, first of all, you start your first 10 seconds in the morning, what actions you take for the rest of the day to back up those choices. And then at the end of the day, you know, as mama always said, you got to count your blessings. You got to celebrate the wins and go back and think, wow, I did a great thing today. I might not have done 10, but I did the one thing, and I'm going to sit here and celebrate and be proud of myself for that sense of accomplishment. And that is how you build the muscle memory. That is how you rewire your brain. And that is how you change your life, by changing your mind.
Are you ready to change your brain to change your life? Discover how to break limiting beliefs, stop self-sabotage, and unlock your full potential by rewiring your brain using neuroscience, coaching, and faith-based principles. Come and join my coaching program, Unstick Your Mind, today.